mentioned to you last week that we were preparing for today's conclusion of our series of teaching on fasting and prayer. And we put it out through the office, through Facebook, through email. And what is before us today is something I have never done. I've never done a Q&A blank. I've not even seen these questions yet and had them collected at the office. I did bring some additional questions in case we had some time once we cover these. But what we're going to do today is something I've never done. But this I feel very impressed about, because the one thing that often happens when you enter into a season of prayer and fasting is people, and please don't take this wrong. Say with me, I won't take this wrong. Say, I won't be offended, because I'm not thinking about anybody in particular what I'm about to say. But there's a lot of ignorance that keeps people from participating in stuff. And I've tried to cover the basis in the two previous messages. In fact, I had a call this week, and someone said, I've been listening to this message. They said that they have been the most helpful two messages I've ever heard. Now, maybe this is plowed ground. Maybe you already know everything about it. I hope you do. I really do. But I'm trying to help those in some way that may have a question that maybe you were afraid to ask. Now, these questions I'm about to read are anonymous. I don't know who wrote them. I don't know who sent them in. It's not important. And I've got some other stuff I brought with me just in case. I'm excited about these 10 days ahead. And I know that some people think that when you set aside 10 days for fasting and prayer, about all you lose is 10 days. Let me tell you, when you make a decision to do business with God so that you enter into some level of denial. Now, let me say that right up front. I don't even know what these questions are, but I'm going to say right now, don't you get guilty if you're not doing what someone else is doing. Because I'm not going to get legalistic and tell you, you got to do it this way. Some years ago, when my brother, my elder brother, who was at that time still in the Army and retired full-bore colonel, but he had a very serious heart problem and had to go to Fitzsimmons Medical Center in Denver. And so at that time, they were living in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And he called me up. He said, is there any way you can go with us out to Colorado and help my wife, Wonmi, who is a member of Dr. Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, and dear prayer warrior, oh my God, she knows how to pray and make kimchi. I mean, she can really get it done. He said, is there any way, because of the kids and Wonmi, can you go with us? And I said, I'll do more than that. I will go into fasting and prayer about this upcoming surgery that's going to be happening. Now, we got into a bit of a debate, myself and my sister-in-law, because she thought, for whatever reason, there was only one way to fast. She said, you're cheating. You're cheating. I said, what? She said, you're cheating. I said, what do you mean cheating? I said, isn't it between me and God? Yeah, but when you fast, it's like double doggone nothing. I said, what about, well, water's all right. And I said, what if I show you in the scripture there's a variety of fasts? And for whatever reason, as godly as a woman as she was, she knew nothing about Daniel fasts. The 21-day Daniel fast, where he continued eating substances, but for 21 days he ate nothing tasty. Now that's a problem for me, because everything's tasty. Wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. It's all tasty. There was an extended period. There's the Esther fast that's like the what's called the black fast, food and water, 3 days. There was the extended 40-day fast our Lord was upon. We've shared that in previous service, where he for 40 days ate nothing, but he did obviously drink water in the desert, would have been dehydrated. There are other kinds of fasts. So don't get all narrow-minded so much you don't even cross your eyes looking down a straw. Don't get all narrow-minded. Don't get like that, because there's a lot of different ways to fast. I also want to challenge you a little bit to stretch yourself. You know, every one of us need to do some level. I'm asking, and I've been sharing with some people, I'm talking to them, and they say, I said, I'm believing for 100% participation. I don't know that everyone's going to do what I do, but I'm not going to expect them to. But I want every one of us, beginning tonight, 6 p.m. until the 17th, 6 p.m., those 10 days, I want you to deny yourself at a level that's going to stretch you a little bit. Now, I don't know what that means. And if you are in a physical circumstance, you are diabetic, you have to stay on a regimented diet schedule, I'm not going to try to tell you to go 100% entirely without, but even within that framework, there's a way to get there from here and still maintain blood sugar levels. And it just takes a little bit of research. Well, how do I do that? Well, Google, study, research. You can get there. I know people who cop out about this all the time who will say things like, well, I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. It's dangerous to do it. Reference previous messages. It's not as dangerous as you think. If it were, why do doctors place you on several lengthy hour-type fasts before they do various sorts of tests? It's not as dangerous as some of them claim, but what they're afraid of is that people are going to go nutso and suddenly go, and no one's asking anybody to do anything dumb and crazy. But what they are asking you to do, and you still got 6 hours and 8 minutes. The clock is running. You got 6 hours and 8 minutes to pray about whatever God would have you to do. I already feel convicted about what I'm going to do. And I'm believing God for the strength to maintain my daily responsibilities throughout these upcoming 10 days. And people who are coming to these services are all, people who aren't even attending this church are going to be fasting with us. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. We feel God preparing something. We are coming into agreement with you. We want to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen. Now, can I say this? And you're going to be offended when I say it. So I'm setting you up. If you don't do anything, don't expect anything. I mean, you get out of it what you put into it. If you will commit at a level of self-denial, something that really stretches you. And remember what my good friend Bill Parks used to say. If you fast but you don't pray, you're just dieting. What time you set aside to fast, make that also an important point for more prayer time, more calling on God. And you say, well, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Years ago, God put me personally on a 21-day fast. And I announced it to the church, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't make any great big publicity or preparation. I just told him what God was leading me to do. God had specifically spoke to me what to do. And I went on a 21-day fast. And the day the fast concluded, revival hit the church. I was pastoring at that time. And in the next 8 weeks, we saw 275 documented salvations. Now, I don't know that's going to happen after this 10 days. But I will tell you this. All bets are off when you get serious at some level and don't cop out. Something that's really important to you, if you don't feel particularly convicted that you're going to fast every single meal and maybe go on liquids or go just on water, or maybe you're going to go more intense for particular periods of time, that's between you and God. But don't do nothing. Everyone try to do something as God would lead you and direct you. And believe God during these 10 days for a breakthrough, not just in the body, but in yourself. Hello. We can't give away what we don't have. If we want a breakthrough in the body, it better begin in us. How many of you want a breakthrough in you? I do. I want a fresh touch. I want a fresh anointing. And I'm praying about stuff. The moment you make a decision, it is incredible. There's been so much opposition that it's raised its ugly head. And it's just come from all possible venues. Stuff that, like, oh my God. I thought, I know I'm getting ready to go into fasting and prayer because look at this. So you better be ready for the level of intensity, but oh, the level of power, the level of blessing begins tonight. 6 p.m. All right, now I've not read these. I don't know who wrote what, but I'm going to take the questions that have come into the office. Here we go. Question one says, if an all-community or entire church fast is called like Jehoshaphat did, and some people do not participate, can God still move? 1,000% yes. Because you never get, as much as you might want to, 100% participation. We long for a whole body response, but we all know how it works, don't we? We all know how it works. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 10% of the people do 90% of the giving. God's kingdom has never been limited by that. In fact, try this on for size. Try this on for size. Have some big name, Joyce Meyer, John Hagee, T.D. Jakes, bring them into Crawfordsville. Take the biggest arena, bring some high-profile name into that arena, and you might get thousands of people, but call a prayer and fasting event for the community. You might be lucky to fill a library. Or maybe a table at the library. I know, because this isn't my first rodeo. We have walked this down for almost 50 years. I have seen all sides of this, and I've never seen, as much as I have tried, to get 100% participation, we've never got it. We really, really try, and yet there's always someone. Like I told you, a little boy that had that miracle at Raleigh Hospital. His grandparents were an active part of the church, and they said, when we finally called to fast for that little boy, they admitted to the entire church, we've never fasted a day in our life, and I knew we had fast called. I knew we had. That told me they didn't do it. I was like, oh my God, really? And these were core leaders of the church. He was the head of the missionette department. He was the head of ushers. They were right in the middle of everything, and they never fasted. So you're never going to get 100% participation, but I will tell you this. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Now, in God's kingdom, it's not addition, it's multiplication. In God's kingdom, it's not adding, it's exponential. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, and you start adding it up. If you start putting people together and people are serious, if this dude's serious and that gal's serious and this dude's serious and that gal, if you start adding everybody up and putting everyone together, as much as we would strive to get every... See, the reason I want 100% participation isn't about so much of the addition and multiplication, exponential. What I'm praying for is for you. Because if I can get each and every one of us serious enough, hungry enough, now I already know that some of us know that when we don't eat, we get grumpy. I'm not going to ask you if you live with a person like that because we'll be in serious trouble. But I know people, you mess with their food, they don't just get hungry, they get hangry. Yeah. I know we take a big risk when we call a fast. A lot of grumpy, a lot of grouchy, a lot of hangry people. But let me tell you something. If you can just dare bear through that, you won't die. It won't kill you. If you get grumpy, get on your knees. Take it out on God. God's a big enough, I'm just going to say that. He's a big enough boy, has got broad enough shoulders. He can handle that. And you know what? I have grumbled and grouched to God, and I've yelled at God, and he has never sent me a bolt of lightning, Anthony, wiped me off the face of the light, and made me just a pile of goo. I've been tempted. I feel, God, I wonder how I, because I've had times where I've got really, I just share with God exactly how I feel about stuff. Why don't we quit lying about it and quit acting that? Because we know at times we have bad attitudes. And there's been times during that 21, it was an incredible move of God that came on the heels of it. But during that 21 days, I may not have been fit to shoot. Hello? I remember one time during the 21 days, our kids were still home at that time. And my son was just kind of up in your grill kind of kid anyway. He goes, Dad, when are you coming off this fast? I mean, really? Well, We have to deal with our humanity. In every revival, there's a dirt and divinity principle. The divinity is God, the dirt is us, and every revival is going to have a level of dirt because there's people who are a part of it. People will go too far, people will say too much, but even though we pray for, you don't have to have 100% participation. One man serious with God almost brought the sparing of Sodom. One. Standing before God, appealing. Now that doesn't mean everybody else cop out because there's going to be one doing it. No, don't do that. Don't you dare do that. I pray for, believe for, do everything I can for, but no, it won't take 100%. But if every one of us will do whatever God is laying on our heart, incredible things will happen. I hear a big amen today. Question 2, in the Bible it seems that every fast was a fast of food. So can other things be fasted such as technology? What a great question. What a great question. What a miracle it would be if we turned off our TVs, computers, and our phones. Now I know you have to have a certain amount of that for responsibilities and all the rest. I understand that. But oh my God. The Bible does give certain parameters of denial that people will do during a fast that aren't just food. Read 1 Corinthians 7. The scripture even mentions that marital couples for a time of fasting might, aside from... Are you reading in the blank here? You're putting it together? We got a mixed company here, folks. Now stay with me. By definition, to fast is to deny. Now, there is a great deal of it that relates to food, but all of it relates to our flesh. Denying our flesh, putting it in its place, the flesh rebels, the flesh doesn't want to cooperate, and so during extended times for special prayer, there may be other things. And I remember, this is a really good question, because I remember in some of the fasts that we have led in the past, there were people that for an extended period of time did not watch one television show. They turned off their computer. They turned off their television. Now, I realize if you're like me, I have to have, because of what I do, I have to communicate over the internet, and I have reports I have to turn in, various stuff, so it'd be impossible for me to continue my job. I understand that. But I am telling you this. There is a certain level of thing you could do for an extended period of time. Maybe do what you got to do, but don't surf the web. Don't watch anything on Netflix. That probably is a miracle all by itself. I mean, really, you know. I grew up in a tradition where even TVs they thought were bad. I grew up in that very straight-laced background where going to theaters, playing cards, no TV. I mean, I remember all that. I really do. I don't have a problem with a television per se, but I have a real problem with people who say they don't have time to do business with God and will vegetate in front of this stuff that they wouldn't dare miss. So, yes, I think this is an excellent question of a person who would say, you know, that time I usually spend every evening watching, you know, Lucy reruns or Gunsmoke or during the day as the stomach turns, whatever. I'm going to use that time. I'm going to focus that season. I think that is a really good thing. But yet, there is a level of this other part where we're kind of saying to the flesh, no. But you ask God. I mean, there might be somebody in this room that God is really speaking to. Really, really speaking to about some particular thing. I know there are coffeeaholics in every church everywhere. And people say, I can't go without my coffee. What would you do for 10 days I have no coffee? You might kill somebody, maybe, but, you know. But whatever, technology is a great question, because that is another way. And I'll tell you another thing. I've known people to do, during extended periods of fasting and prayer, they might get up an hour early or stay up an hour later for more time of prayer. That's also a form of denial, because some of us are absolute crazy sleepers. Is anybody besides me a big fan of sleep? I get so little of it, I love it. Third question. What if God doesn't say specifically what to give up? How do you know what to fast? Another really good question. If you pray and seek the face of God, and He doesn't tell you anything specific, then lay it before God and say, God, since you've not directed me elsewise, I'm putting this before you. And this is what I'm going to do. Study the Bible for yourself. There's differing kinds of fasts that are related in the Scriptures. You could take up any one of those. Or you might do something like this. Maybe you would do 24-hour fasts, where you'd only eat a meal every 24 hours. It's not necessarily going without for 10 days. But you could say, I'll eat one meal every 24 hours. Nothing between that meal and the next meal. You could fast meal. Now, again, I want to reiterate something I said last week. It's no fast if you don't eat it anyway. If you don't ever eat breakfast, it's no fast. I'm getting up breakfast for 10 days. You don't eat it anyway. That's no fast. That's no sense of denial. You don't do it anyway. But if God has not given you other directives, then study the Scripture for yourself. Now, I know this is really difficult for some of us to believe. But do you know God leaves a certain amount of deference to us? I used to think, and almost used to preach and believe, that it was one way, one place, one time, 1 hour. I still believe in divine appointments and God moments without a doubt. But I also know there are times when God says it's up to you. And I know this because years ago when we were pastoring in Vincennes, and we felt like the Lord had released us from our responsibility there, I had 3 churches open to us at the same time. At the very same time. All 3 of them wanted us to come and serve. Somebody said to me the other day, well, it's probably the one that paid the most. It was not about that. It's never been about that for us. I felt the Lord say to me for the first time in my life, you make the choice. Because your heart's right, I'll bless you wherever you go. That's kind of biblical. I'll bless you wherever your foot is put down. So if God has not told you a specific thing, then just place it before God and say, God, here's what I'm going to do. And I believe God will bless that. You know, you don't have to go 100,000 days without food for God to bless you. And it's not about back-arming God and trying to force Him into some corner. But it is about this, setting aside a particular thing in a particular way. Use the Bible as your basic guide. Unless God gives you some other particular conviction. Now, somebody's asked me, it's not in these cards, somebody's asked me what I'm going to do. And I'll put it before what I'm going to do. Beginning tonight at 6 o'clock, I will eat nothing. I'll eat no solid food for 10 days. I'll be on liquids, and that's all. Liquids in their various types of forms, because I cannot completely come aside from my personal schedule. It's impossible. I still have to work the 60 or 70 hours a week, so I need just an itty-bitty bit. So I'm going to have nothing but liquids for the next 10 days. And I try to do as little of that as I possibly have to unless I need it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help you here. What if during the 10 days, all of a sudden, somebody invites you out to dinner? Thank God. No, I had to wrestle with this when I was traveling all over the world full time, because often I was fasting and people didn't know it, because I didn't make a big deal about it. I didn't tell people a lot of time about it. And so what was I supposed to do if somebody slaved all day long to put together fried chicken, mashed potatoes, peas, pie and a Coke? Don't cross your eyes when I tell you what I'm going to tell you. This is what I felt convicted to do. I prayed a lot about it because I had seen other people, I can't eat, I'm fasting. That's no better than the Pharisees standing on the street corner, applauding their efforts. Here's what I felt convicted to do. Not me calling a person up and saying, make fried chicken, mashed potatoes, peas, pie. No, none of that. I'm saying if I had no idea this was coming. And I remember I was preaching in Greenville, Ohio. an extended series of services. Nobody knew I was fasting and praying, and there was a couple there from New Zealand in the church, and they had lamb flown in from down under. I love lamb. And they had it all spread out with the mint sauce and the whole shooting match. And they said, you're ministering to us, and we want to do something very, very special. And I was fasting, and I remember, and I felt the Spirit of God said, go and enjoy that meal. That has been prepared with hospitality and grace. Eat the meal, then go back into fasting. If you get to the point where you want to chew your arm off, like a wolf with his paw caught in a trap, go eat a Snickers. Then go back on the fast. Maybe nobody's ever told you that before. The goal isn't to starve to death. The goal is to deny yourself at a level as far as you can. If it gets to the point that you got a migraine that feels like somebody's cut a cornrow down the top of your head, it's okay to have just a little something. As before God. I haven't backslid because I try not to do that. But if somebody just all of a sudden puts something in front of you and they do it with hospitality and you have no idea what you're doing and you're not supposed to go out and applaud it and announce it anyway, then go ahead and receive it with grace and then go back on your fast and finish the course. You see, it's like running a marathon. I have run a marathon. I actually ran in three of them, finished one of them. I run in a marathon. You don't have to run every step to do a marathon. There's these purists that think you got to run every... No, you don't. No, you don't. Jeff Galloway, who wrote a great book on running, said you'll actually go farther and faster if you, every mile, walk a minute. You can take in more water. You can take in more fluids. It's not about marathon running today. But I'm just going to tell you this. You can do a marathon and complete a marathon and have your picture on a plaque that you did a marathon and you don't have to run every step of the way. You can fast 10 days... And if you have to, somewhere in the middle of it, grab your Mars bar, it's okay. Go back into your fast. If you have to, if it's necessary, it's okay. But do it as unto God. And God honors the sacrifice. Now, if you're looking for every possible reason to get into the chips, that's another matter. Okay. If you eat out a lot and give that up, could that be considered a fast? If every meal is eaten in a restaurant, I'd say yes. I would. If you eat every double doggone meal in a restaurant, Cracker Barrel at noon, Culver's in the evening, and Steak and Shake in the morning if they serve breakfast, I don't know. And you say, for this next 10 days, I'm going to take a very simple lunch with me, I'd say that is a fast. I do. Because that's different than your norm. That's much, much different than your norm. You're doing something quite different. In fact, that might even help you. I think you might really benefit from that. Whoever wrote that question, that might just be a great big deal right there. Cracker Barrel may be mad at us, but they'll get over it. They got a lot of money. That's a good question. It's different remember, it's unto God. It's before the Lord. Beloved, we're going to do something beginning tonight at 6 p.m. that is going to be life-changing. It's going to be miracle-inducing. It'll be history-making because we're going to do it between us and God. Whatever it is God's laying on your heart, stretch your faith, ask God for the help. And let's believe. Let's believe for signs and wonders and miracles, for the outpouring of God's holy power, for people to be saved. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to close today with this. If you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that 10 days would make the difference for the salvation of your entire family and extended family, if you knew it, how many of you would do it? Without a doubt. It wouldn't even be a question. Because I have watched through the years of ministry God has favored us with, every time we've gone into fasting and prayer, it didn't always happen just that second, but we have watched God move phenomenally. People called into ministry. There are pastors and missionaries today that came out of that revival, that came on the heels of that 21-day fast, that to this day still call, and I still have contact with, that were either saved. In fact, when I was traveling full-time, I was actually preaching up near the Michigan line. And after the end of one of the services, the youth pastor in the church, he came to me, he said, "Do you remember?" I said, "Remember what?" He said, "I was saved in that revival." I said, "Really?" He said, "I didn't come to your church." He said, "I was brought as a guest by somebody else who had been touched. I got saved. And on the heels of being saved, he said, I felt somehow God had something for me to do. And I pursued the call of God. I went to Central Bible College and got my degree for ministry. And he said, I'm a youth pastor today." I didn't even know it had happened. But it happened in that service. Jay Colvert, who became one of our missionaries, he was called to the mission field during that time. All that kind of stuff. And you can't make that happen. Only God knows. Can I double doggone promise you this much? And I'm taking a risk. I'm going out on a limb saying it, but I believe it to be true. If we will do our best, and no one's going to grab you by the front of the shirt and say, "What are you doing?" I told you what I was doing, just so you know, that I'm never going to ask you to do what I want to be willing to do myself. I will never ask you to do what I want willing to do. And we're going to pray. We're going to believe. We're going to deny. We're going to believe. And nothing will surprise me of what's going to happen in those services on the heels of this 10 days of triumph. I'm going to pray for strength. This may be a stretching for some of us, and maybe for all of us. Because if we go to some level of denial, it won't be easy. We'll fight our flesh. We'll fight the enemy. We might even fight some people around us that don't understand. And there might even be those that would say, "You're nuts, you're crazy. You're doing something that's very, very dangerous." But if the God of heaven called his entire people to come aside for victory in the days of Jehoshaphat, as we shared last week, and it saved his land, and they came away from that with the battle performed by God himself was spoiled so much it took days to collect it. If God would do it for his people, I believe he'll do it for us. First Assembly. Launching forward in a way we've never done before. Believing for God to work in a manner we've never seen. Bringing people from all sorts of different places with all sorts of differing foundational belief structures, but all of which are going to help us to go after God. And we're preparing the way for God to move. Let's come on, let's just magnify him and thank him today. Heavenly Father, as we bring this service today to a close, I thank you for what you're about to do in these 10 days, beginning tonight at 6 p.m. until the 17th at 6 p.m., 10 exact days. We are committing ourselves and we're asking you to help us. It may not be easy, and there may be some roadblocks during the process and along the way. There may be some slowdowns. There may be some heartaches. There may be some disappointments. There may be some actual attacks from the powers of darkness. But we thank you that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall raise up a standard against him, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Greater is he that is in us than the one that is in the world. We thank you that these things don't go out but by prayer and fasting. But when we pray and we do fast, there are people saved, there are people healed, there are people delivered, there are people who receive deliverance, there are people who get a breakthrough. There are things that happen more in those moments by accident than we can ever do in a lifetime on our own. We believe for that to happen. And everybody that believes that, shout hallelujah in this house today. Hallelujah.